Wednesday, August 25th. I woke up early before 7 o'clock and drove down to the dam hoping I might see the beaver or the nutrium. No luck, and an astonishment to the Secret Service, I'm sure. Weldon Sheffield came in the early morning with straw baskets of fabric samples, and we began our trek. But first we hung our little Horacio, the Mexican primitive, above Dios Ordaz's chest in the living room, and then to the guest house to move furniture and pictures and lamps and try to make the Mexican chest settle in more comfortably and to make the front porch, so inviting and yet so ignored all these years, into a comfortable center for summer evenings with Chinese peel chairs and a table. And then we went down to the Lewis and found just the right beige linen with a jute braid that will harmonize with the painting and the Martha Mood applique tapestry of cowboys and campfires. Hung the watercolor of the high post office. That's getting to be a famous piece of architecture around here. And then back for lunch by the pool, Weldon and Bess and I. We helicoptered over to the Haywood, stopping by AW's to pick up Mary Allen, and tried slipcover materials. We hoped to achieve a summer house effect of rough textured white upholstery, all alike, bright gay pillars, the bright gay stylized picture of San Marcos where Lyndon went to school, and maybe old bottles across the mantelpiece. But the clock was hot on our heels, and we left a little before 4. And back at the ranch, changed the tenor of the day completely. Jumped into town clothes, said goodbye to Weldon, and helicoptered to Austin for a session with Max Brooks, Roy White, David Graeber, and later Bill Heath joined us to explore the best architects to find the number one name for the Johnson Library. I will look to Max Brooks's firm as my real standbys, and happily, they are the university architects at present. But we all agree that to attach some prestigious and nationally known name would be good. I took along my 3 blue books of architects' works that Tom Watson had given me. I've been doing a rather thorough research on it, and though I find contemporary architects hard to swallow, I think for this building, we must look toward the contemporary, though of course there must be a marriage. With the site first, and with the rest of the university campus second. I wanted to explore Philip Johnson. I like so much his Amon Carter Museum and the little Dumbarton Oaks Pavilion, but I'm flabbergasted by his own glass house and a church with a top and no walls. We all agreed on the firm of Skidmore, Merrill, and Owings, I going only by the judgment of all the people whose taste I value and by no personal knowledge, and the head man in it would be Gordon Bunshaft. We talked about Eero Saarinen's firm, Yamasaki, I.M. Page, and a West Coast firm called Worcester, Bernardi, and Emmons. We wound up by Max having the job of finding pictures of some of the best buildings this last firm has produced to show to me, and the decision to set aside several days for trips sometime during October to see the 3 outstanding presidential libraries. I'm eager to see President Eisenhower's. I've never seen it. None of Max's firm has seen any of the libraries. They could well do some research in depth, both with the curators there and with Grover in Washington. Max has already begun with a thick mimeographed sheaf prepared by Grover for the requirements of a presidential library. And then another trip would be to see the outstanding buildings of these several architects, to try to find one with a lustrous name who is easy to work with and who can fall in love with the project of the library at the end of the axis facing the main building of the university. It was about a 2.5-hour session, and then we went down to the headliners, which always spells fun to me. And we met our host, Jesse, the anchor man in my life, Marietta Brooks and Mary White, and Will Edward and Liz Odom. I'm particularly glad for Bess to have a night off in gay young folks' surroundings. Work at the ranch with me is not the most glittering thing, and she's been trying to turn tomorrow's tea for the hostesses from the boyhood home into a real special affair. Jesse took us to Mi Casa Su Casa for Mexican dinner. I sat next to Will Odom and talked to him about his work on the Parks Board, in which he is vitally interested. He said, "We are not thinking for today. We are thinking for 50 years from now." Just the sort of philosophy the Parks Board ought to have. We talked about the big thicket in East Texas, in which there are still a few Indians living completely separated from the world in the most insulated backwater. Will worries about them. Thinks in general we have done all Indians a disservice by not bringing them into the mainstream of American life. I was pleased to hear him show so much warmth and discernment and interest. The place is absolutely charming. Atmosphere with a capital A. A balcony with wrought iron. A heavy old carved door from Mexico. Cactus and yucca in the patio. And a delicious, enormous Mexican meal. The first tacos in months. This living in the White House means that I almost never go out to dinner, so it's a red letter night when I do. On the way out, we met some tourists from Greensboro, North Carolina, who were surprised and pleased to see me, and who had seen me at a political rally in Greensboro. We started to the Bergstrom Air Force Base. The Secret Service lost the way, and we headed for the municipal airport. I came to when we were about on 19th or 20th Street. We should have stayed on 7th. And I thought how glad I was for once that Lyndon wasn't with me. The air would have been blue. But I could afford to lose the 30 minutes of sightseeing time. As we flew home, I looked down over the Lewis place, the smoldering embers of the brush fire. We'd gotten news of the fire in the middle of the afternoon. And Dale, Clarence, all the workforce had deserted the house and gone over to fight it. Later I'd heard they'd had the fire departments, volunteer they are, from Johnson City and Stonewall. It had covered about 10 acres. They thought it had it under control by now, but 15 men were spending the night guarding it. A frightening thing, but it's a time that takes you back to the frontier. And neighbors, regardless of their differences or what their job of the day is, pitch in together to fight it.